Hello. Hi guys, can you hear me? Hello. Hi guys, welcome to Ozzy's group. It's great to see you around. What a lovely morning. It's a Saturday evening and a Saturday morning, and I'm here for your speaking component. I'm here for your speaking component, and I hope I'm audible today, like unlike last time. And it's great to see you. Let's start with the speaking component. What is the component about? What do we do in there? Like, okay, the first thing that we do for the speaking component is the introductory questions. Okay, what about the introductory questions? In the introduction section, you're asked questions about yourself, okay? So, like for example, it's firstly understand the base of speaking. What is the speaking component? It is nothing but it is a one-on-one interview. We've all given interviews before, we've all attended college interviews, we've all attended a lot of other interviews also, right? For work. So it's a similar thing. So when you're preparing for it, are you like very conscious about it? No, right? You're absolutely normal with it. So the same thing here. Don't have to worry about anything. Just try to be as natural as possible, and I think you're going to rule this. Okay, now understand some things very clearly. The first thing that is checked in your speaking component is your ability to have a natural conversation, your ability to strike a natural conversation. Okay, the second thing what we're going to see is they see the band descriptors, whether you suffice, whether you comply with the band descriptors or not. Okay, now a lot of people come to me and they ask me these basic queries which I'm going to solve today. I got a few of them, FAQs yesterday, which the first thing I want to clear, and the first thing that I see is, the first thing that I believe is, a lot of people actually have come to me and asked me that, is using like heavy words important? So just tell me, when you're striking a natural conversation, we do use uncommon words, right? We do use words which are less used. But do we come up with words that are like really high fire, really fancy, GRE level words? No, right? If I'm talking to you, I'm not using any of these words until I'm a fluent speaker. So in your speaking component, it is the exact same thing that is seen. Okay? Now, another thing that you really have to be very careful is with the way you talk. Like, there are two important things coming to speaking. One is the content generation. The second is the delivery of the content. Now, content generation is a very important part when it comes to the cue cards. The speaking component, as you know, that is divided into three parts: the introduction questions, where you ask questions about yourself; the cue card, where there are topic given to you and you will have to speak on it for 2 minutes. The third thing is the counter questions. These counter questions are the ones which are based on the cue card, right? So there are these three things which are very, very important. So content generation is never a problem. It's in your introduction, in your cue card questions. It's definitely going to be a problem in the cue cards, because there'll be one topic given to you and you have to speak on it for 2 minutes. So I think that is where your content generation is required. The most important, the delivery of the content is important. You know the things, you know a story. Let's say I'm asking you, tell me something about your city. Obviously, you want to know about your city, right? What is important here, what makes sense here, is how you're delivering it, how you're portraying it, how you're giving it. So are you making good sentences while speaking it? Are you using good words? Are you know, nervous? Are you fluent? Are you stopping in between? Are you hesitating? Are you looking out for words? Are you looking out for content? So that's something that is very, very, very important, and you have to make sure that that happens. Okay, another thing that I feel is very important in your speaking component is the confidence. You need to be very, very confident, okay? And I'll tell you why. So most of the times in the speaking component, people are very, very, people hesitate a lot. Like sometimes, you know, you get stuck in between. For example, when I started it, there was a technical issue, so it took me like a minute to get started up, right? So that is going to make sense. I want you to believe that the more confident you are, the more calm you are, you'll be able to do it well. And I actually assume that once you have confidence, once you have your composure, whatever content you deliver is going to be really nice. compared to the ones that, you know, who are nervous. And see, nervousness before the speaking component is obvious. So what do you do to remove that nervousness? One thing that I believe you can do is practice warm-up a session. Have a habit of talking naturally. So I always tell my classroom, people who talk a lot, people who generally have a habit of talking a lot, you know, end up doing really well in speaking. Why? Because they can cook up stories, they can, you know, make the content, they can just go. One more FAQ that I got yesterday was, can we bluff? I was like, there's no harm, the examiner is not doing an honesty check then. But make sure that when you bluff, when you are actually saying something that is not true, you have enough content for it, okay? So that's what we're going to, that's what you have to learn, okay? One more FAQ that is very important that I feel is, people are like, can we learn the cue cards by heart? Can we actually mug up the cue cards? Now see, there is no harm in mugging up cue cards. In fact, I generally suggest that prepare a little bit, but please don't mug up your cue cards. It's not a speech that you're delivering. Understand this concept. What is speaking? When you go for an interview, I am trying to see whether you can strike a natural conversation with me. If you're able to do so, that means you're a good speaker. Let's say you're asking me a question in the comment section and I answer it on the spot. That means I'm competent with speaking component. So, what happens when you go for your exam, when you mug up is, you tend to, let's say something, a thing that I want to buy and I have mugged it up. The moment the examiner is asking me that question, I shoot, I want to get done with it and I run away. Okay. So you're not supposed to do that. You cannot do that. Rather, it's always remember, you know, this is one tip that I always give my students, that please, before you go for the exams, make sure you talk with the examiner, you communicate with the examiner. You are not just, you know, going there to give a speech. Okay, another important tip, which is very, you know, question which was raised, what if we don't understand the question? Firstly, the questions are going to be very generic, okay? They're not there to judge your general knowledge, or they're not judged to test your IQ or anything. They're going to be very, very generic, so be calm. There's nothing that you don't know. It's very simple. If I'm asking you, do you like rains or not, I expect that you know whether you like rains or not, right? It's going to be simple. Sometimes what happens is, let's say you don't pick up a particular word. You're not understanding. Let's say, generally this never happens, but in case this happens, like if they say, is your friend affable? Affable means friendly, and you don't know the meaning of it, which is okay. So you can simply, if I'm trying to have a conversation with you and I'm good with speaking, what's my first answer going to be? What's the meaning of affable? But since it's a formal interview, how are you going to say it? Excuse me, ma'am, I do not understand the meaning of it. Simple. It's better than giving the wrong answer. It at least shows that you're understanding what the examiner is trying to ask you, right? So please, there are times when students ask me that, can examiners repeat the questions? I would suggest you can answer. Like, let's say I've not heard it. Maybe I was, you know, out of focus. And so I did not hear it. So what do? Simply, you can try the examiners. You can tell them that, yes, ma'am, could you please repeat the question? I did not follow it. Okay, now after that, it's okay, it's going to be fine. Make sure you don't do that with every other question. It shows lack of attentiveness from your side, so please avoid it. But in case you're doing it, it's fine, it's not an issue. Okay, again, one more thing I would want to tell you is, people ask me about hesitation. Hesitation, if you go to see the band descriptors, before you go for exam, again, one more very, very, very important thing. Before you go for the exam, always make sure that you read the band descriptor. When you read the band descriptor table, you will understand that hesitation in terms of ideas is okay. Hesitation in terms of words is not okay. Now, here comes a catch. How am I supposed to know whether a student is hesitating for ideas or whether a student is hesitating for words? So let's say if you're saying a story and you're stopping in between, that means you're, you know, stopping to continue that story. But let's say you're already on track and, you know, you stop because you're not finding a particular word. So that time, they do consider that you've hesitated for words. Certain hesitation in natural speech is okay. Self-correction once or twice is fine. It is the way people talk. You cannot change it. Okay. So be careful with that. another very important thing that I feel in your speaking component is your grammatical range and accuracy. You have to be grammatically correct. See, range is something that we cannot control. While speaking, it's not going to occur to me even once to use the complex statements or, you know, to change into passive voice, because I'm going in the natural speech. I cannot stop, oh wow, I need to use a complex statement and then say it. It's not possible. It is remotely not possible, right? So what do you do? What I feel, what do you do is, you can simply work on your accuracy. There are a lot of times when we speak, we're speaking so fluently, or maybe we're speaking at such a speed that we tend to make errors. Errors in terms of what? Singular, plural. Sometimes it's like he say, it's he says, people say, not people says. So be careful with such things. The minor things, I think all these rules everybody's aware with, but because of nervousness, you know, all this problems I believe is actually related to the composure of your mind, and which you need to really work on. Okay, so sometimes, you know, you come across students who are just talking about a male and suddenly, you know, the pronoun there is she. And then I'm like, okay, it's a male, it has to be he, it cannot be she. So something that you have to be really careful with, okay. So please work on your grammatical accuracy as well, especially with speaking. Don't get nervous. The more nervous you are, the more, you know, mess you're going to create with your grammar. And this is a very strange phenomena that I've noted, and I still haven't been able to get the logic of it. So whenever people speak, they're more accurate in grammar compared to the ones when they write. Generally, it has to be the opposite, you know, because you're writing, you're thinking and you're writing. So, you know, you've got to be more accurate then. But it's always the opposite. People in speaking are like much better in grammar. And I believe the speaking component is very easy to score. Firstly, if you go to see all the other three components, listening, reading, writing, require a lot of extensive practice. With speaking, it's just you talking. So it does not require that level of effort. Plus, it's not on the same day, it's on the different day. It's either a day before or a day after, depending on the, you know, place that you have chosen to go for. So, I mean, with the center you've booked the date for. So it's going to be very simple. So don't worry. I mean, that is one thing that I would want to say. Let's start with how to solve each one of these, how to go for each one of these. Okay. The first portion, let's begin, is the introduction section. I'll give you one rule for the introduction section. One word, which is a golden rule, which you have to follow. I have said this before, I will say it again, paraphrasing. It is a very important component. Let's say, I can ask you a very simple question. Do you like rains? And I'm answering, yes, I like rains. Rather, change it. I am very fond of rains. Or you can say, rainy season is my favorite season of the year. Change it. Don't repeat what the examiner is saying. Okay? So be very careful with that. Change your sentences. Introduction questions. So now people ask me that what should be the length of the introduction question. So if I'm asking you, do you like rains and why? So let's say I'm saying I am extremely fond of rains because it gets me into good mood and the weather is quite nice. This answer is a short answer. It's a very brief answer. I gave an answer in a one statement. But if you go to see, the answer is complete. There is nothing about this answer which is incomplete. It's a complete answer that I have delivered. And whenever you are asked a question, don't, and any which way, see, again, it's a game. It's a game of mind. If I'm asking you a question, you're not going to imagine that, okay, I'm going to say three lines on this. You can't, you know, go for, you know, that level and then think and then say. It's not possible. You know, human, it's, at least I am never able to do that. So rather, you know what, go for an answer which is more complete. Focus on delivering an answer which is complete, which is not too long. You know, a lot of people have a habit of stretching it, you know, for so long. It's not a cue card. You're not supposed to speak for 2 minutes. You don't have to stretch it for 2 minutes. But make sure that, you know, you're delivering a complete answer. And plus, you've changed the structure. You've used synonyms. How to paraphrase now? It's a very good trick I'll give you. For paraphrasing, you can do two things. One, you change the structure of the sentence. Second, you use the synonyms. That is, again, very, very important. Okay, so let's say if I'm asking, let's do one more question. What kind of music do you like to listen to? Music makes me feel stress-free, especially the classical music that I feel is very soothing. Also, I like to listen to Bollywood music when I'm in parties. So that answer is again complete. It's a two-line answer. It's neither very long, it's neither very short. Okay, you guys have any questions that you want me to answer for you in case you've come up with anything in the introduction section, please post it in the comment section. I will answer them for you. At the end also, if I'm skipping some of the questions, at the end of the session, I will post it for you. Okay, so introduction question, remember two things. One, complete answer. Second, paraphrase. These two rules, introduction questions are sorted. Again, as I always say at the beginning of the speaking session, at the middle, at the end, I will just emphasize on one thing, natural conversation. Now, let's say somebody's pointing out to me, is black your favorite color? And let's say, yes, black is my favorite color. Then don't mess up that, oh my God, I have not paraphrased this. And I'm going to lose marks. It's okay. Sometimes, if you're having a natural conversation, it's fine. Try paraphrasing. Because see, paraphrasing is something that will come with practice only. If you're talking naturally to somebody, if somebody's asking you, do you like black? You're going to say, yes, I love black. You're not going to think twice, oh my God, I have to change the words. So for the speaking component, you will have to rehearse. You will have to practice like that. You will have to train your mind to think like that and speak like that. So that is very important, but it will come with time and you will have to practice. In case in the exam you're nervous and you're not able to recollect words for paraphrasing, you're not able to change the structure, don't panic. Strike a natural conversation, you'll still get a 7.75. So don't worry on it. Don't, stress about it after your exam. Before your exam, yes, please do practice about it. So, this is a very common phenomenon. Before the exam, everybody's like, okay, what to do, what not to do. And once the exam is over, they're like constantly stressing about it. I've spoken like that. I was like, your exam is done. What's the whole point? Rather, you could have kept your composure there. You would have done much better here. Any which ways, we'll go ahead with the next component. The next component is a cue card. Now, what is a cue card basically? Cue card is nothing but a topic which will be given to you. And you will have to answer the question. You will have 1 minute to prepare for the topic. And you have to say, you have to talk on the same topic for 2 minutes, okay? So that is about your cue card. And there are a lot of cue cards which students keep practicing. And I tell students, please don't mug it up. There is a way to do the cue card. Let's say a topic is given to you. Start brainstorming it. Let's say a thing I want to buy. For example, I want to buy a car. And I want to buy a specific car which I have in mind. So I'm going to write at least 10 words on it. Like let's say I want to buy a Jeep Compass. I'm going to write Jeep Compass. Then I'm going to write red color. I'm going to write which showroom. When will I able to buy? What's the price of it? Why do I like it? Some special feature about it. Okay. And then you actually go about. And then you speak it. So for 1 minute, you can just write the words. You cannot write the sentences. And please don't mug it up. Please make sure you're not mugging up anything. Please make sure you're not... learning by heart anything. And because when you go there, and what happens is monotony happens. I'm speaking to you, I'm talking to you. Somewhere I'm pausing, somewhere I'm thinking, somewhere I'm correcting myself. Sometimes my pitch is high, it's low. Something that I'm really happy about, I'm going fast. Something that I'm, explaining it to you, I'm stressing on certain words, right? So this is called intonation. When you actually mug up things, your intonation goes really low. You go la 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 la. It goes on a monotonous frame. Whenever you're going on a monotonous frame, at that point of time, remember one thing, you're losing out on marks. The examiners can make out in a snap of a second whether you've actually mugged things in, trying to say natural conversation. So please, please, please make sure that that's not going on that way. You're actually, very natural with your thing. I am focusing on this a lot, and trust me, I am, because it's important. Okay? Again, a very, very important thing that I want you to realize when you do your cue card is you have to make sure that your content generation is good, because you have to speak for 2 minutes. Again, you want me to try any cue card for you, I can post it in the comment box. Even if you're seeing this video after it's over, you can post it in the comment box and I can, give you an answer relating to it. And we can help you. Also, there are a lot of videos on the IELTS tutorials online which I've done on speaking before, where I've discussed much more, in depth how to do the cue cards. I've given some samples of the cue cards, and there are almost 2 to 3 videos like this. There's one on lexical resource which you can see, that's very interesting, that's on words. You can also sign up to have, lectures, one-on-one sessions with us, and we'd be happy to help you. We have online tests, so in case you want your speaking assessed, we can give you your speaking scores also after it. Okay. Right. Let's do the cue card now. You want me to try a cue card for you? Okay. So let's pick up any topics. I'll just pick up a city that I want to go to, or let's say a book. We'll do it on a book because it's more generic. It's more, you know, anybody can understand. So now let's say I'm doing it on a book that I want to read, or a book that I've read. Let's assume a book that I've read. Okay. So now I'm going to think of 10 words in it. Okay, one more thing, one detail before I forget. There are 3 points which are given below the cue card. I want to make, please make sure that you include all those 3 points. Those 3 points are nothing but WH questions, so you'll be able to answer them really well. Okay, I've prepared a content on a book and you have to brainstorm it accordingly. So let's say I'm saying 10 words on this. So I'm going to write the name of the book, the author. When did I start reading it? Who recommended it? What's the basic storyline? One important tip I want to give you, like students, when they start saying about books, movies, series or things like that, what happens is the entire 2 minutes they're constantly on the story, the outline. Don't do that. Please don't do that. You know, talk about generic, like let's say you're talking about your favorite movie or the favorite book. So I don't want you to, you know, talk on your favorite book for like the story of the book for 2 minutes. I want to see what you liked in it. I want to see how you read it. Why did you like it? What do you know about it? What else do you know about it? So don't waste the entire 2 minutes only on the storyline. It's not going to work out for you, okay? Same thing for the movie, same thing for the TV program, same thing for, you know, a story that you've heard, not just the story. You know, do something else also. Okay, another very important part in your cue card is be original. Please be original. If you've read somewhere something, don't mug it up again. Again, a very, very important point which I don't want to skip is make sure you're answering to WH questions. When, where, how, why, with whom. Okay, so make sure you do that. You do your mind mapping. A lot of students have this habit. 1 minute they get, they will not, in your exam when you go, you will get a pen and paper. Okay, so people are like, we don't want the pen and paper, we just go and speak it out. Don't do that. The pen and paper is given to you. Write down the words. I'll tell you why. Personally, when I went for my exam, I did jot down the words. And you know why, what helped me with that? I was more confident. I did not have to glance in the paper. It was not necessary. But at least I knew in my mind the flow of it, how I was supposed to take it. And that's what helped me got good marks. And I think it's very important. Also, the paper is given to you. You can glance at it if you want to. Make sure you're having an eye contact with the examiner. Don't scare the examiner to death, please. Don't scare away. But make sure that you're having occasional eye contact and, you know, you're talking properly. Also, don't just look here and there. It shows lack of confidence at one point of time. It shows that, you know, you're not confident enough to look at the examiner. So, don't do that. Have an occasional eye contact, and eye contact which is important. Okay, so let's say I'm going to pick up 10 words which I can elaborate. Again, one important detail I want to tell you is add your own experience. Now, how do you make the cue card original? Let's say somebody is talking about a beautiful city or a book. I can Google things about a book, right? And I can still say it. But then what's the whole point of it? Till the time I don't narrate my own experience relating to the book. Like for example, when people talk about city, when people talk about the movie, they start telling me the square kilometer area and the population and stuff like that. If randomly I'm talking about a city you want to visit, unless and until, you know, you're an avid traveler or, you know, into geography, how are you supposed to know the population, the square kilometer area of the city? Something which I never get. It's something like, if I want to visit a city, the only thing I'm going to know is what I want to see there. And from where I've heard it, and since when am I inclined towards it? I'm not going to know these, you know, generalist things. And it, what is it showing? It's showing that I Wikipedia it. And what I'm saying is all on Wikipedia. What about my cue card? Where's my experience in it? Why do I like, for example, somebody says, I'm talking about a particular city. I love nature. And that's why I want to go there. Right? So please be very careful. Again, a very, very important thing. Please don't use slangs in speaking. We're all now into technology, including all of us. We're constantly like, I want to do this. I want to go do this. Don't do that. I want to. It's a formal interview. You're talking to somebody of a higher authority. Please make sure that, you know, you're very humble, your tone is very polite, your tone is sober, you're not using any slangs. You make sure you do that. Okay, I want to speak on the book. I'll give you an example how to speak in the book. and I want to put you on and put your stopwatch, because the point is you have to start for 2 minutes. So here is the stopwatch, and I'm going to start it now. Okay, I'll just tell you how to speak. I'll tell you again. First thing you say, like for example, my topic is a book that I have read. First thing I'm going to say is the name of the book. Then you create a background. Don't extend the background for too long. 15-20 seconds, create a background. Like, I've read a lot of books, or I hate reading books, I love reading books. Ever since a child, I've been surrounded by books. Whatever the background you want to, and my favorite genre is so and so. So that will give you 15-20 minute window. You've already bought yourself 20 minutes out of 2 minutes, 20 seconds out of 2 minutes, right? The remaining time, you can actually answer your WH questions. In this particular way, you will be able to finish it. Again, the examiner might stop you at 1 minute 30 seconds, okay? There is a possibility that the examiner is stopping you at 1 minute 30 seconds. That doesn't mean you've done too bad. Neither it means you're awesome. It means that the examiner has been able to judge you by that. So don't worry, the examiner, if the examiner stops you, it doesn't mean anything. Don't judge yourself. The examiner is there to do that only, right? So please make sure that's happening. Another very important point that I feel is when you're actually speaking, make sure that you're not pausing too much. Don't pause. Don't take like long pause. Of course, breathe. A lot of students have this. They won't breathe. One breath and out. Don't do that. Breathe. You're talking. Be normal. Is this for 2 minutes? Then it's going to go. And it's, you're able to do that, okay? So then you answer the WH questions. Also, never finish the cue card abruptly. If the examiner hasn't stopped you, make sure you're giving an ending to it, okay? So make sure you do that. Okay, I'm going to speak on the book for you as I have explained to you how to do so. And here's my stopwatch. The book that I have read recently and is one of my favorite is The Alchemist. Ever since I was a child, I have been an avid reader. I love reading. I love reading science fiction, horror, suspense. This one is a fiction story and it's written by a very well-known author, Paulo Coelho. He's been an author who's been writing about spirituality, about fiction, and I've read it a couple of times. I read it once when I was in 8th grade. Actually, my neighbor had gifted me this book on my birthday. Initially, I found it really boring and I thought this book didn't make any sense to me. But as I read it, once I realized it was good, it had some good teachings, and I reread it. When I reread it, I really understood the meaning of the book, and I think it's been like, 8 years, and still I have read this book umpteen times, and every time I read this book, I'm going to find something different. So that's something that I really, really love about this book. That is something that I feel that it distinguishes this book from other books, even his books. The best thing about this book is you have to read in between the lines to get it. There are certain things till today which I personally don't understand, and I try to understand it by referring it, by asking people. One can have discussions on one each page, you know. If best thing about this book is you can read it in a group and you can have discussions, you can have points of differences, and it can be really entertaining as well. Basically, the main character of the book is a boy named Santiago who goes to find his treasure and faces a lot of difficulties along the way, and in the end he does find his treasure. So it is a book that has happy ending. It's very positive, very, very motivational. At any point of time I am down in my life or I feel low in my life, I will open this book and figure something out to move ahead. I think this is masterpieces created by Paulo Coelho, and I'm a big fan of it, and I recommend everybody to read it. It's one of his best sellers. So there you go. So the 2 minutes passed completely where I spoke all about the book. Not did I tell, I just said few lines about the story. I did not speak anything about the author. I spoke my experience to it, what I feel good about it, how I did not understand it, who gave it to me. I was the center of my cue card. You're supposed to do exactly like that. You're supposed to be the center of your cue card. You are the own nucleus. You are the center. You are the nucleus of your cue card. You have to be really careful with that, okay? And I want you to do something like this. And I hope you're able to do so also. I don't think it's going to be a problem. It's very simple. It's not difficult. So I'll just tell you the band descriptor. Then comes the counter questions. Yes. Now what about counter questions? People ask me that, is there a difference between introduction and counter questions? in terms of length? Are the counter questions supposed to be longer? So as I mentioned, when you're about to answer, you don't think of the length. Like, if a question is posed to me, I'm not going to think that, oh, no matter what, I'm going to say five sentences on this. That's not making any sense, right? Again, the counter questions are trickier. Yes, one difference I would say is they're trickier, they're more generic. For example, if something on a book is given, they say that, do the reading habits decide the personality of people? Now, let's say such a question is posed to me. I'm asked such a question, do the reading habits affect the personality of a person? So let's say I'm saying a yes or no, I'm confused. You can say it depends. You can give a diplomatic answer. What's my first response going to be? My first response is going to be, it definitely depends on the person. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. However, in my case, it has affected my personality. Give an example. You can give an example, you can give a natural answer. Do the children of other countries read as many books as children of your countries? Honestly, ma'am, I'm not aware about the reading pattern about kids in other countries. However, in my country, children have now started developing the habit of learning. Do you think this answer is complete? And at the same time, I did not have knowledge about children learning in other countries, and still I was able to answer it. So it's exactly the same thing you're supposed to do. It's exactly the same logic that you're following. So please ensure that, you know, you are very natural. Don't worry about it. The cue card questions are generally tricky because a lot of them, one question arises from another question. So again, when you're bluffing or when you're saying something that's not making sense, make sure that you know what you're answering, because the next question can be based on your own answer. So please be careful. Then there are a lot of students, they come to me and the examiners keep on asking why. They keep on repeating the questions. And how is that so? So I tell them that it's obvious because you're answering questions which are incomplete. Your own answers are not sufficing. Your own answers which are incomplete, they are going to come up with something that is new, right? So you have to be careful with it. Please make sure that you answer the correct, you answer it very properly. You're answering it completely. Okay, now before I end this, I would want to show you the band descriptors. Let me explain it to you first, and I'll show you the band descriptor table, how important that is. The band descriptor table, like, how is the speaking judged? It's judged by four things. First thing, I personally tell you, is natural conversation. I will still emphasize on it till we end this thing up. So there are four things. The first very important thing, that is your fluency and coherence. Now, fluency is not you speaking fast. Remember this. Fluent speakers are not the ones who speak fast. Fluent speakers are the ones who are going, who don't stop in between, who don't hesitate, who are not nervous. That will give you fluency, right? I've said this before, so I've said all this because it's very important for your band descriptors. Like, there are a lot of people who are like going, la, 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 I spoke very fast, I'm done, I'm very fluent. No, it's not fluency, okay? Second thing which is very important is coherence. Coherence is synchronization. Did you see when I spoke my cue card, when I narrated my cue card, everything was in order. The first I narrated how I got the book, then what I liked about it, how it was a whole storyline. The same thing is something that you have to create. Also, you have to speak something that is relevant to the topic. If I'm asked about books, I cannot say that I love movies more than books and movies are better than books, and my cue card cannot be based on that. I'm asked about a book, I have to talk about a book. Okay? So coherence is very important. Synchronization is also important. The flow of it is important. Okay. Now, next comes fluency. I would like to tell you about intonation. I had mentioned this before as well. What is intonation? Intonation is high pitch, low pitch, chunking. I am pausing where it's necessary. I'm stressing where it's necessary. I'm giving a comma where it's necessary. So that's called chunking, which is very, very important. That's called pitching, which is important. So make sure you do that. Again, don't get nervous, don't panic, don't go very fast. Don't go very slow either. A lot of students have this thing that we don't have content for the cue card. Can we go like real slow and we'll be able to do it? Don't. It's not like that. Don't. The examiners, please don't make them sleep. Okay? So it's important. The second one that is making sense is pronunciation. Your pronunciation is an exercise for the mouth which you have to know. How do you improve on the pronunciation? You improve on the pronunciation. Record your own cue cards and listen to it. You will definitely understand that there are certain words that you pronounce wrongly and you have to work on it. So pronunciation is an exercise for the mouth. So keep speed. There are certain words, you know, that we're not able to pronounce properly. For example, there is a jeet. So intrigued is, you know, a lot of students they come up like intrigued or you know something like that. So make sure you don't do that. You know the words that you're speaking, how to pronounce them, how to say them correctly. So make sure you're doing that. Okay, the third one which is very very important is again your lexical resource. Now what does lexical resource mean? Lexical resource simply means that you're using the correct word at the correct place. At the same time, you're using a wide range of words, you're not repeating the words. It definitely doesn't mean that you're using high five words. If you see the entire cue card, did I use one word that was, you know, very high five? No, but I used the words where it was necessary. None of my words were repeated. I use collocations if you go to see. Avid reader becomes a collocation. Collocation is nothing but couple word. If you want more information on collocations, you can see my webinar on lexical resource. There I've explained in depth what collocations are. You can go there. Okay. The next one is grammatical range and accuracy. Grammatical range and grammatical accuracy mean two different things. Range is you using simple, compound, complex statements. Accuracy is you being, you know, more accurate in terms of pronouns, in terms of nouns, in terms of subject-verb agreement, tenses. Be careful of tenses. If you're using the past tense, you have to talk on the past tense properly. If you're talking the present tense, you're using the present tense properly. So make sure you do that. Okay, I'm gonna show you the band descriptor table. You'll find this in Google as well, and it's available on their website. But I want you to see this because it's important for you to know how the speaking component is assessed. Because, and when you're practicing also, you know, writing or speaking, please keep those band descriptors in hand. Even in writing, I'll tell you why. Because if you know what the examiner is expecting out of you, you will be able to deliver it better. So please always keep in mind. See, with listening and reading, it's easy. Like you have 40, you have 9 lines. You have 35, you have 7. So it's very easy. But in terms of writing and speaking, the IELTS has provided us with the band descriptor tables, which I want you to follow and which I want you to take care of. I'll show it to you. This is the band descriptor table, if you can see. Right. So if you go to see, the first is for the 9 bands and the second is for 8 bands. So we have fluency and coherence. We have lexical resource. If you go to see, wide range of vocabulary, exactly what I explained to you, grammatical range and accuracy, and pronunciations. Okay, so please be careful. Go for the 8 band descriptor. It's going to help you. I'll show you how I've done a mind mapping for the book. See, this is the way I had mind mapped the book. This is a flow chart that I had created. You can use something like that as well. And you can sometimes, you know what happens, people are like, what I've written, I've not said it completely. It's okay, it's just for your own reference. Again, you know, when you're mind mapping, what happens is you're confident enough that you know you have enough content, and when you have enough content, you will be able to speak properly. You know, you are also, you know, somewhere down the line mentally confident that okay, if I pause, I have content to speak on. So you know, it's more psychologically important. So this is the exact way you should mind map, and it's very easy. There are these three strategies for speaking that I have developed. It's called micro planning, mind mapping, and making answers to WH questions. Now what is micro planning? Micro planning is you add small details, like how I added a thing called it's important to, like in my 8th grade, the writers, few things about the writer, small intricate details is micro planning. And what happens when you do micro planning, when you're actually micro planning things, the content looks more original. Okay, the second one is mind mapping. Mind mapping is the previous slide that I showed you, and it's important to mind map. The reason being, if you're mind mapping, you will have, again, you have a flowchart, the content generation. Basically, this slide is related to content generation. The previous slide that I showed you was about the delivery of content. So, micro planning, mind mapping, and making answers to WH questions. So, I had explained to you when I was actually teaching the cue cards also. So, these are few things to keep in mind before you go for your exam. Okay, a very, very important part. Let's revise the tips. Let's revise what we've done today. And we can go ahead. So the first thing I told you in a speaking component is please have a natural conversation. Please have an ability to have a natural conversation. Be very calm, be very confident, don't be nervous at all. This is your speaking exam. It's just an interview which is going to last for 12 to 20 minutes, and it's going to go very nicely. The second thing, first for the introduction questions, remember two things. Introduction, the count as both. Remember two things. One, that you're answering originally, you're answering naturally, you're honest. See, for example, I'll just give you a why honest. Let's say somebody's asking me, do you like classical music? I genuinely don't know anything about classical music, but out of the flow, I've said, yes, yes, I love classical music. And then suddenly if somebody's asking me, what's your favorite singer? And I have no clue. I'm like, I haven't heard classical music ever. How am I supposed to answer it, right? So please be a little honest. If you don't, any which examiner is not judging you on the content, even if you say I have not heard classical music even once in my whole life, the examiner is not somebody who's going to, you know, come and tell you that, okay, why not? You know, you're not getting marks for that. Rather, if you say that, no, I find classical music a little banal and boring, so I think I'm more into Bollywood music. So what's wrong in it? There's nothing wrong in it, okay? So please answer with a little bit of honesty. Paraphrase your questions, okay? Give a complete answer again. That's very, very important. In your cue card, please make use of the pen and pencil which is given to you. Write down the words. Once you're writing down the words, you will be having enough content. Delivering in cue card, both the aspects, content generation and content delivery. Both these terms are very important. Make sure you use it. The third is the cue card. For your cue card, again, don't panic if you don't know any question. You can simply say, ma'am, I have no clue with this, or it depends. You can give a diplomatic answer. It's okay. Relax. That's a question, you know, they're there to trick you. They're there to make you nervous. So don't get nervous. Maintain intonation. Don't mug up things. Words, you know what I do with words, I pick specific words. Like, for example, if I'm describing a person, I will use certain adjectives like affable, obnoxious, amiable, meticulous. I learn 4-5 words. So whenever I'm talking about a person, I'll use these words. I'm talking about a place, pristine, mesmerizing, spellbound, and I will say these words. So same way, create group words for different topics, and you'll do very well with it. And also we have vocab pop-ups on YouTube, so you can see them every day, like with 3 words. So we have a lot of words for you. You can make use of the vocab pop-ups in case you want to get better with the lexical resource. And we've done that very nicely. You can join our Telegram group. You can join our tutorials online. And we're all there to help you. I'm very sure all of you will clear the exam with flying colors, and there will be no problem as such. And hopefully you guys score really nice marks. In case you have any problem, if you have any queries related to videos, post it in the comment section. I'll answer it later. You can also contact us for any other queries. Thank you so much, guys. It was a pleasure being with you this Saturday morning, and I'll see you guys around. Thank you.